Quinn, and this is Mentally Together. Because whether you can see it on the surface or not, we are all just trying to keep ourselves mentally together. And no matter what our brains are experiencing, we're not alone, we're together. Because that's what we do here. We share things and relate to each other. Even though your brain might feel pretty different than my brain a lot of the time, or your brain might be diagnosed with something different than mine is, there's still always some way to connect and build empathy and understand each other better. And part of that, I think, is just understanding ourselves, knowing what's going on in our own brain so that we can go, oh, okay, I get it. Maybe this thing will help me, this activity, this medication, this type of therapy. But sometimes it can take a long time to figure that all out. Like for me, it took 31 years of my life to discover that I have ADHD and then get that diagnosis. But once I figured that out, it made so much sense. Something clicked in my brain that seemed to explain so much of my entire life. And then having that answer, I could choose how to move forward with therapy, medication, and or anything else. But for me, the diagnosis itself felt huge and good. Even though I did cry in the moment, but I think it was a combination of happy tears and just like general overwhelm. Actually, I remember calling my dad on my way out of the doctor's office and telling him that I was diagnosed with ADHD, and I started crying. And he was like, why are you crying? Are you okay? I think you're okay. This is okay. And I was like, yeah, I'm okay. I'm not sad or anything. It just, it's an emotional day. Anyway, my guest today says that getting her correct diagnosis was the best thing that ever happened to her. It's Michelle Hammer. Michelle is an activist who makes videos and other content about her experience living with schizophrenia. Because, turns out, many of us really don't actually know much about what schizophrenia actually is. She spends her time passionately fighting stigma and even creating a clothing brand to do just that. It's called Schizophrenic NYC, and it features designs and slogans created just to inspire conversations about mental health. So I loved talking to Michelle about what schizophrenia actually looks and feels like, what not to say to a person with schizophrenia, and how we can keep breaking down the stigma around mental illness. So let's get into it with, she's an artist, she's an advocate, she's mentally ill and she doesn't kill, which, by the way, is a slogan from Michelle's t-shirt. I did not just yell that at you. It's Michelle Hammer. Thank you for being here.
Yo.
And you even have one of your shirts on. I love it. Don't be paranoid. You look great.
That's right. Don't be paranoid. You look great.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Such a terrible day outside, actually. It's freezing.
Is it? Oh, no.
And for some reason, I don't know why the heat's not on, but okay.
Oh, no. I just turned my heat off so that it wouldn't start like blasting in the microphone.
Right, but you know, I text my super, like, you know, hi, how are you? It's cold in my apartment. Can you put the heat on? No response.
Rude.
Just no response. That's what he does. That's just how he is. You know,
it wow.
Is.
Well,
just sit here cold.
Hope
thanks.
He's going to listen to this podcast.
Bro. Thanks for helping me out.
Yeah. Weird. Rude. So basically everyone I have on Mentally Together is pretty open talking about their mental health. But I don't know if I've ever seen anyone so openly just put everything out there, answer people's questions, no matter how ridiculous they are, as you.
Really?
Have you always been open about just your feelings and experiences in life, or is that a newer thing?
No, I used to be so quiet about everything. Like, especially growing up, like with schizophrenia and not knowing it, I was super paranoid. I would barely speak. I thought everyone trying to help me was trying to hurt me. So I didn't trust anyone. And even like after I was like diagnosed with a mental illness in college, I was like, oh God, if anyone finds out, they're going to think things about me. I don't want anyone to know, blah, 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 blah. You know, I didn't want to tell anyone. And then even after college, like I still, like I had my best friend and we would talk and things. And she's like, I know that there's something, you know, you're not saying, you know, I know how you act. I know what you say about certain people, but there's like, she's like, I'm not stupid. I know something's going on. And I'm like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. And then it just, I don't know. I started this business, Schizophrenic NYC, where I was just popping up. And, you know, at first I would say, like, you know, the creator is schizophrenic. And then I wouldn't really refer to myself. I would say, so then I put my artwork. So it would be like, you would catch it, then you would get that was me. And then eventually I just started being really, really open. And I have, I don't know, a lot of, I tell my cop story, and it's sometimes about like the cop beating me up. And it took me 10 years to really be able to even tell that story because I had such PTSD about it, about this cop just beating the crap out of me. So like being able to tell that story was just a release of like horrible just memories. And it was just talking about it made me feel so much more comfortable and just had getting other people's opinions about it was like, what she did to you was wrong. And I was like, thank you. Because so many people would just take the cop side. Well, why didn't you just listen to her? Well, I mean, no, but like what she did to me was wrong. So it was just, I just became open because the more that I shared, the more that I felt better about it. And the more questions people asked me, the more I felt more comfortable just getting along with people, just being open. And then like, you know, I got some press and then like so many people from my past decided to like Facebook chat me and say, oh, Michelle, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, thanks. Like, I haven't spoken to you in like 5 years, but thanks. Like, you know, leave me alone. I don't know you, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, or, you know, like somebody like from the past that I don't like anymore. He was like, oh, you know, I understand why you were bullying me. I never bullied you, bitch. You're the one that bullied me. So shut up. Trying to like DM me still, proud of you. Stop DMing me. Stop messaging me. Leave me alone. But yeah, I like you were saying, I became open because I just like being open. Otherwise, it feels like you're hiding something. And I don't like having that feeling of hiding things anymore. Because when I was first diagnosed with schizophrenia, after my initial diagnosis of bipolar at 18, like at 22, I was diagnosed with schizophrenia. Like I felt like I've got this secret and I can't tell anyone. And I'm like, that's stupid. I'm still the same person I was before. Why do I have to keep myself a secret? Let's just talk about it. Because there's so much stigma because nobody knows about schizophrenia. Nobody talks about schizophrenia. You always hear on the news or something like that. Like this person with schizophrenia, you know, killed or hurt this person. You know, you don't hear like, you know, this person with schizophrenia woke up, had a great day, maybe did some work, came home, hang out with friends, had some dinner, went to sleep. You know, nobody hears that. But that happens too.
Yeah, right. This person with schizophrenia started a company and makes really cool t-shirts. I mean, now sometimes you do hear you in the news, but yes, that's not, we don't get a lot of representation of schizophrenia. And I think that when I don't even remember how I found your Instagram, but somehow when I found it, I was like, whoa, I've just never seen a firsthand account of schizophrenia. And it's something I have heard of, obviously, and seen representations in movies or the news or whatever, but never actually understood what it is and how it affects a person. How do you define it?
In my life?
Yeah, in your life. How do you define schizophrenia in your life?
In my life, I'm very, very delusional. Like I'll come up with like fake memories, fake stories. I think that things happen when they didn't happen. I think people are just, I concoct the most ridiculous stories ever. And I have no idea if they're real or not. I'll call people and be like, did this happen at this point, at this time? And they'll be like, no. And I'm like, but are you sure it didn't happen? Like this person didn't say that at that time. That never happened. But are you sure it didn't happen? Like, are you sure? They're like, it never happened. And then I'm like, fine. I don't believe them. It happened.
Because in your mind, it feels just
because
real.
I'll make things up that are so specific that I really believe they're real, but they're not real. So I've like accused people of things and they're just not guilty of those things. They're wrong. Or I'm extremely paranoid. And I believe that like if I'm in a large group, I'll believe that people on the other side of the room are talking about me. They looked at me. Maybe they like, I mean, made eye contact and I'm like, they're talking about me. I know they're talking about me. We have to get out of here. Cause I'm getting targeted by somebody. What goes on pretty much with me.
Yeah. And you said you were diagnosed when you were 22, right?
Yes.
How did that come to be?
Okay. Well, I was diagnosed at 18 with a bipolar, and that was like at college. And like, I saw a doctor there. I was on this medicine. I take it 3 times a day. Things were rough because, you know, 3 times a day is kind of rough. And then once I dropped off, like, it would be like, don't want to take it, but whatever. I come home. I'm not seeing that doctor. I'm not on any meds. And I'm like, Mom, I need to go see a doctor. She's like, why? And I'm like, because I don't feel good. And she's like, but do you really need to go? I'm like, yes. So eventually I just saw a doctor. And why I liked him was like, he was asking me these questions because it's a psychiatrist. And at one point I'm like, I don't want to answer that. And he's like, you have to. And I'm like, I don't want to. He goes, you're just a Jap. And I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, you can't just come in here and say you're not answering my questions. You have to answer these questions. And I was like, I love you. Like, I'm not for like a, oh, you know, how are things going? Tell me about what's going on. That's not my kind of person. I like someone who's direct and going to tell me what's up. So I was just more open and honest and actually told the truth. And then he's like, yeah, you have schizophrenia. And I was like, I think I kind of knew that, but I didn't want to know that. So then, like, you know, a few weeks later or days later, I don't even know. I'm out to lunch with my, or I was out to dinner with my friends from college. We were all roommates. And I kind of just said, like, you know, I'm nervous. I'm like, guys, want to let you know I have schizophrenia. And seriously, the conversation was, isn't that what you had the whole time? That couldn't have been more obvious. And yeah, we told you that. And I was like, okay, well then I guess everybody knew. And then I was walking like in the East Village with my friend that was on the like, cross team. And I was like, all right, Lauren. So I found that I have schizophrenia. And she's like, dude, I could have told you that 3 years ago.
Wow.
So I'm like, okay, everybody like, already knew.
Could you have maybe told me about that 3 years ago when I was diagnosed bipolar?
Right. But it was like, if all my friends already knew and didn't care, why am I going to care about like negative reactions I have from people? Because my best friends already knew. So that like helped me accept it even more. Like they don't care. Who cares if that schmuck over there cares?
Yeah. Was it more before knowing how your friends would react? Did it make you more nervous thinking about telling people that you really know personally than just telling random strangers on the street or on the internet?
Well, at that point, I hadn't told anyone. Mm-hmm. And it took a few years for me to like get comfortable. But then like, I was just like, I'm telling everybody and I'm going to tell them in the biggest, boldest way possible. And that is what I did. And everyone was like, cool with it. Like I said before, everyone was cool. And they all sent me messages and I was just wrote, thank you.
Wonderful. Yeah. I love hearing the story of your diagnosis because it wasn't like, or what it sounds like, it wasn't like, oh my God, what this happened, because it just kind of went, oh, that makes sense. Everybody got it. And a lot of times you hear about people being really nervous to go get a diagnosis. Like even you said, you didn't want to know that was actually what it was, but then did it feel good when you actually could say, oh, that's what's going on. I can do something about it.
Well, the thing is, I always say to people that like, that was the best thing that ever happened to me. Cause then I could be treated for the right illness. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be where I am now if I didn't get that diagnosis, who knows where I'd be. Cause that's what I have the support. I have got my support team of my family, friends, and doctor. And if I didn't have that support, who knows?
Right. Which is also amazing to hear you talk about that you are grateful to have family and friends and support and doctors and everybody, because there are people that don't have any of that.
They don't. And especially being in New York City, you see people with mental illness all the time. And unfortunately, what you see is homeless people with mental illness all the time. And that is why there's so much stigma. You know, 1 in 5 New Yorkers has a mental illness, but they don't tell anyone because of all of the stigma. They don't want to be compared to the person by the subway screaming and yelling and like, oh, that guy is mentally ill. When sometimes it's not a mental illness that they have, they might be coming off a drug binge. So you don't know what you're comparing yourself to anyways, but if everyone was just more open and honest, it just wouldn't be so much stigma. I mean, I have a pop-up shop and I tell everyone that walks by, you know, I have schizophrenia. And once I tell them that, they're either telling me they have a mental illness, a friend of theirs does, or a family member does. So everyone's connected to it. So what is the deal with all the stigma? I don't get it. Let's all talk about it. And that's why I wear these big bold t-shirts. So people can be like, what is that about? Let's talk about it.
Right. You take wearing your heart on your sleeve to another level, just like wear everything on your chest. There you go. It's there.
That is it. Yeah.
Do you remember what it was like the first time you did one of the pop-ups and actually were face-to-face with people talking about your schizophrenia?
Like the first time? Well, I mean, I've gotten all things like, I think one time this woman was trying to set me up with her son or something. And she starts going, oh, like, you know, how old are you? Oh, and I whatever it was at the time. And then she just goes, oh, wait, are you going to be on medication the rest of your life? And I was like, probably. She goes, oh, okay. And then was like, no longer interested.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's like weird reactions. Okay. Weird, really strange reactions. And then one woman kept like, I had the Rorschach test idea. And I was like, you know, a person with schizophrenia kind of, you know, sees the world from like a different perspective. So I changed the colors and patterns. So everyone looks at it from a different perspective. And she kept going, how do you know what a person with schizophrenia sees? And I was like, well, I know. And she goes, but how do you know people with schizophrenia? And I go, well, yeah, well, I know. She goes, but how do you know? I'm like, well, I know because I know. And she goes, well, I think you're spreading stigma. You see things through a different perspective, and that's spreading stigma because how could you possibly know? And I'm like, lady, I know. She just couldn't get it through her head.
Yeah. Do I need to spell it out for you more?
Right.
Wow. Yeah.
I've spoken to so many different people. It all becomes a blur sometimes because you never know. Like people have been like, what is this about? And then like, I tell them, oh, you're schizophrenic. You're very brave. And then they go away. Like I've been yelled at. I've been all things. I've been screamed at. I've been like, yeah, but I've also gotten tons of praise, but I've gotten all kinds of reactions.
Absolutely. Do you feel like the shirts you make and the content you put out on the internet is your main goal to teach and help people who don't understand it, who are outside of the community, or help people who are also struggling with it and, you know, need some guidance?
I think both really, but I guess I never really thought of that question, but I always thought I was helping more people with the illness, but it really does, you know, help everybody just try to understand it who has it or does not have it. Cause sometimes like I have those videos of me talking to myself and I have like, which get so much more views than the videos of me actually trying to educate people, which is kind of funny. Uh-huh. But like people are like, you know, who are you talking to? What are you saying? What is this? And they ask a million different questions. But like, I don't have much to say because I'm like, I don't know who I'm talking to and I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But those like do educate people because they're like, I thought a schizophrenic episode was when you're running around acting crazy, holding things, trying to kill people. I'm like, no, that's just me sitting on my couch talking to no one. Mm-hmm. And it's not violent at all. I'm just having an episode talking to somebody who's not there. That's just it. It's just that.
How did you get that idea to actually set up a camera and start recording what was going on?
Because I thought people just needed to see what it looks like. And then there's like, even those like schizophrenia simulations, like the people are like walking through their like house and there's like somebody is speaking here. Some there might be like a fire going off or like the cell phone keeps ringing. Like what is that? I don't even understand what those are. Like I've watched them and I'm like, okay, this part seems accurate. That part seems okay. But like, why is there fire in the room? What's going on here? And why is there demons everywhere? You know, a schizophrenic episode can seriously be you sitting on the couch and just having a conversation. You're not walking around with your cell phone talking to you with things screaming and the fire blowing up in the air. You seriously could just be sitting on the couch. That's it. It's just talking to somebody. While I said it like 500 times right now. You're really just doing nothing. You're not doing anything. You're just sitting on the couch. There's just like so many videos of me just sitting on my couch doing nothing but talking to no one. And that's what it is. I'm not even interacting with anyone in the room. There's nobody there but me and somebody invisible, or I'm delusional. And who knows what the hell I'm talking about? A lot of people ask, who are you talking to? What's this about? What are you saying? Can you put some with actual audio? And I'm like, it doesn't matter if there's audio because I don't even speak out loud most of the time. I'm just moving my lips.
And afterwards, then do you remember that happening? Or was it just kind of like you see the video and then that's when you know that it happened?
Sometimes I'll snap out of it and I'll be like, oh, wait, let me go check the video. But I mean, I have another video on there that once I had recorded myself and I thought I had like 2 seconds, I went back through the video and it was like 30 seconds of me like going absolutely crazy looking. And I was like, what in the world is this? So I was like, post.
What in the world? Okay. Yep. We're going to put that out to the internet.
Yeah. I love it. Am I doing? I didn't even know I had all this.
Let's see what everybody thinks.
Yeah. You know, and still people are like, you're faking. I love everyone's like, what is this? You're faking. You're faking. And I'm like, why? If I was faking, why would I put that on the internet? Like, why would I fake? Who fakes schizophrenia? Like, of all the illnesses, and if I wanted sympathy, like cancer, come on. Who fakes schizophrenia? Who would do that?
Yeah. And I feel like you would get caught so easily. Like,
I know the amount of people that have called me fakers is unreal. Oh, but who the hell? Whatever. I mean, I recently had I just block them all. Block, mm-hmm. block. Good. As much as I can.
Yeah, as you should. Good.
Right? What's wrong with me? Huh?
And I mean, okay, people could think you were faking. Maybe if they saw like one 30-second clip, they're like, sure, that's all she's posted. But then if they actually like went to your channel and saw 5 million videos of you answering questions, talking about your own experience, explaining schizophrenia. Because one big thing that I've learned from your content is that there are different categories of the symptoms, right? There's 3 different categories of symptoms in schizophrenia. So can you tell us a little about those?
Yeah. There's positive, negative, and cognitive. And positive doesn't mean good. It's an add-on to your experience. It just means like if you're hallucinating or you're having delusions, that's like an add-on. Negative doesn't necessarily mean bad. It just means it takes away, which is either like, you know, really, really quiet, you know, doesn't really do what you used to do. You're just kind of like alone, very just kind of a loner in some way. And then cognitive, that's just your ability to like retain information or education or just learning things or people talking to you and you actually understand what they're talking about, which is struggled for me when I was working for other people. It's like with the cognitive stuff, you know, bosses, sometimes they just blah, 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 blah. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you remember? Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I'll totally get that. Yeah. Done. Like, what did they just say to me? Whoops.
Yeah. Well, and like that's with my ADHD, that can also happen sometimes. I'm like, oh, shoot, I forgot exactly what they told me 5 minutes
ago. I know.
Or that person's name.
I had a boss that was like, you need to take notes. Take notes. You don't take enough notes. And I was like, okay, geez, stop yelling at me all the time. God.
You're like, actually, I'll set up a camera and just record everything you say so that I'll have it for my YouTube channel. I mean, for my notes. Yeah, totally. For my work.
Yeah, totally. 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 Yeah, no. He was also a boss that he would see me like hallucinate and stuff. And he'd be like, what's up? What are you doing? He would say, whoa, are you okay? Yeah.
Yeah. How do you think?
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah. How did you respond to that?
I would go, I'm fine. Don't worry.
Perfect.
That was an interesting situation. Yeah. I only stayed there for like 3 months. I was like, bye. I got to get out of here.
Yeah,
I got to bounce. I got to bounce out of this place. Peace. Peace. See you later. Bye.
Because I mean, workplaces have a hard enough time supporting people with any kind of mental health struggle.
Mm-hmm.
I've, you know, when I've had like big anxiety breakdowns at work, like bosses don't know what to do. So if I was hallucinating, they would definitely have no idea what to do or how to respond. So
I have a friend. She had a phone interview and she mentioned she had anxiety on the phone interview. And they're like, well, you know, this job is very stressful. So I don't know if you'll be able to handle it.
Oh, no. What?
Right?
Really?
Yeah. Yes, really.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. There was only one job where I had to tell HR. And then I remember being in like a meeting with my boss and HR and they're like, you know, it looked like you were talking to somebody on the phone, but you said you weren't talking to anyone on the phone. So I don't understand who you were talking to. And I turned to HR. I go, I think that letter I gave you actually explains all of that. And she just goes, you're going to have to excuse her. And you try to ask the same question again. And I just turned to HR and he goes, you're going to have to excuse her for that. And he like couldn't comprehend like how I could possibly be excused for something like that. He was just what?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't have to know. Like you don't have to disclose
Mm-mm.
specifics or anything, but they can just,
you don't have to, you don't have to. But the thing is, when your symptoms show, how do you explain that?
Mm-hmm.
That's the hard part. How do you explain your symptoms when they show, when you don't want to tell them? Because once you tell them, they're going to find three different things to fire you. Because they need three different things to fire you. And they will tell you because of this, this, and this, not because of anything else, we're letting you go.
Not because of your schizophrenia, which is probably what's going on in their head, but that's
exactly
not what they will write
exactly
on paper, because that's discrimination. So
exactly.
So is that one thing that inspired you to work for yourself?
Yes. Couldn't handle the bosses anymore. Couldn't handle the bosses. Plus, you know, you go to college, right? But nobody teaches you to sit behind a desk for 8 hours a day while not wearing sweatpants, you know? And they also don't teach you that being a professor is such a better job than anything that you're going to go into. They don't teach you that. Right.
When you
being
a
professor,
a
basically,
professor
you just use that. You just speak. And the students just listen and they're supposed to learn. But who knows? They can talk about anything. They can talk about anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a teacher that said the biggest threat to global warming was the sun. He was a professor, so he could say whatever he wanted.
Wait.
Yes. He said that to us. He was a professor. The chair.
Wow.
Of the dietetics department said that to us.
That
professor
just
can do whatever they want.
A second. Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's what he said to us. That's
it does
what he
warm
said to
the
us.
Globe.
It
I
does.
See where he gets it from, but
you know,
wow. Interesting.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Maybe he
so if that, so I'm saying none of them taught us that a professor job is a great job, but everything they're preparing us for is going to suck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Think about that one. Think about that one, because it's true. It's
and
true.
And then they just get to be like, here's what global warming is. And then like, you guys go out in the world and solve it.
Fix the sun for us.
Can you just dim
fix
it
the sun? Because, you know, that global warming, that sun that's making it worse.
Yeah.
The dumbest thing I've ever been told by a professor.
Have you been putting off a visit to the doctor for way too long? Yeah, I do that too. And when I finally do call and make an appointment, the doctor's office usually tells me the next available appointment is months away. That's why I've started going to ZoomCare. With locations in Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and Colorado, ZoomCare offers same-day doctor visits that you can book online or from their app. Yep, you don't have to talk to anyone on the phone. They even offer mental health visits, where you can speak to a board-certified mental health provider in person or through video. ZoomCare is where I went last year for my ADHD diagnosis, and they made the process so simple. They really took away my stress. So if you're ready to make an appointment of your own, head to ZoomCare.com. That's ZoomCare, ZoomCare.com.
Now, back to the show.
Is there anything that has helped you in, whether it's with coworkers, bosses, or teachers, other students, like in these larger settings where you have to either try to explain or try to mask your symptoms? Is there anything, you know, if there's anybody out there who can't work for themselves or, you know, is in school right now or is working in a big company or something and trying to navigate those waters, is there anything that has helped you? You know, for like, as far as like communicating, like, hey, this is, or not communicating, you know, how to get around it.
You know, just take things one step at a time. Take things one step at a time. Because if you just pile it all up, then you're just going to stress yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
I think it kind of goes for everybody, but I'm just saying.
Yes.
Reduce your stress load somehow, you know, one step at a time. If you're getting too much stuff piled on you, try to take a break, you know. Try to talk to your professor or boss or something. Just try to do what works for you and don't do something so hard or don't stress yourself out so much is that you're going to end up in the hospital. You know your boundaries, know your limits, know what you can handle. Cause the worst thing that can happen is that you end up in the hospital. So you don't want to, you know, stress yourself out to the extreme.
Yeah. What about things that you've learned to do for yourself that now kind of help set you up for a better day or a better life? Or,
well, I take my meds every morning. That helps a lot. That's what I would say, you know, go to the doctor, get the meds right. Take them when you're supposed to take them. Actually take them, because there's a lot of people, they get prescribed meds, but they don't like to actually take them. So taking the meds are really important. I would say do that. Yeah.
And I appreciate that you talk about that, but I've also heard you, you know, you don't talk about the specific meds because it's different for everybody, but sometimes just medication in general can be kind of scary to, you know. Is it going to change something? But your experience has been good.
Well, I mean, I've been on bazillions and I've thrown many out. So, I mean, you do what works for you. If you try it, you don't like it, then stop that one and try a different one. It's just like when you have a headache, you could take Motrin, Excedrin, Tylenol, you know, just because you don't like one and it doesn't stop your headache doesn't mean you're not going to try a different one. What's the big deal? You can be like, no, I refuse to take any other painkiller because this Excedrin didn't work for my headache. Like, no, it's the same with like an antidepressant or anything like that. Like, I'll never take Prozac or anything because I took lithium and it was terrible. Like same thing, you know, there's all different drugs for a headache and you wouldn't just not take Tylenol because you hate ibuprofen. Same idea.
Or sometimes like I used to have headaches all the time when I was a kid. And so Tylenol stopped working. And so then I switched to aspirin and like that also happens with antidepressants or any other medication. Right. Yeah.
But people would not like ever like associate the two and understand that it's the same idea, you know, like just because you might have like, there's a lot of antidepressants. Just because one might not work for you doesn't mean the other bazillions aren't going to work for you either.
Totally.
You know, test them out, see what works, see what doesn't work. You know,
that's the only way you'll figure it out. Yeah. That's great.
The only way you're going to figure it out. If you just say no, you know, it's not going to work that way. Cause that's how I used to be. And I know that didn't work. When I noticed, once I started taking my medicine regularly, I saw my life get better. And I was like, I like this life more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoy this life.
Oh, what else has helped me? Well, just like walking around like New York City, like you might think everyone's schizophrenic just because everyone has earbuds in and they're always on the phone. So walking around New York City, what's so handy is, you know, a pair of earbuds and a mask.
Ooh, yeah.
Nobody knows. The addition of the mask mandate is helpful, especially like on the subway and some sunglasses. Sometimes on the subway, I used to like just stare at somebody and then like start talking to myself and people have like looked at me like, what the fuck are you staring at me and why are you doing? But no, sunglasses, earbuds, a mask. Nobody knows. Nobody knows.
That makes so much sense.
Tips.
See, masks aren't bad, people.
They're handy. They're handy.
Useful for more things than just germs. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
And then I've also seen you talk about how your art helps you too. Have you always been artistic or did that start more recently?
Well, I mean, I've always been into art. I was an art major in college and then I just started drawing like really like detailed pictures. I have some here. They help with like anxiety, just drawing really detailed stuff. Things like that. Just
so cool.
Super detailed, just like getting out of my head and just focusing on one thing because I didn't want to focus on what was going in my brain. And I just started doodling going over and over and over and over and over. And then that was just like one summer I went back to school and then I believe I scanned them. It was a scanning time. I scanned them into the computer. I brought them into Photoshop and I started making all kinds of art like these. And the prints you can see behind me as well, the canvases.
Yeah. And your hat.
And my hat, yes. So that's just how I started. I was always into art and I just created a new form of art that I started working on. And it's fun, it's cool, and I like it, and it keeps me busy. And some other people seem to like it too, which is awesome because there's nothing more awesome than making art and then actually selling art because it's like, whoa, other people like my art too. That's so much, that is just so freaking cool. I'm loving it.
And then you take it to another level because not only can you start to earn a living from your art, but then you also give back with your art too, right? Besides just like being an advocate, but like, don't some of the proceeds go?
Oh yeah. A bunch of the, like, some of the proceeds from Schizophrenic NYC do go to organizations that help out with like the mentally ill homeless or mental illness, like Fountain House and stuff like that. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Thank you. I try my best, you know, yeah. All you can do is try your best.
You're trying. You're doing so great.
Trying.
What do you wish people knew about schizophrenia?
I wish people just knew anything besides what they see on TV and movies. Like, the actual truth would be nice. Totally. Not just like Criminal Minds or whatever other movies, like, or that movie, The Roommate, which I pop off on all the time. That stupid movie.
I don't think I've seen that one actually. So I won't.
Don't now. Even now bother I with that movie. Don't it. Even, yeah. don't. Good. You know, I hate that movie. The whole movie, this girl's going nuts. This girl's like, she's being bad. And then they go into her drawer and they're like, oh, her medicine. What is it? And oh, they pull out the medicine. It's a real medicine. My friend next to me goes, oh, if you don't take your medicine, you're going to start killing people. I'm like,
oh, geez.
Why do they have to use an actual medicine, like an actual real med?
Yeah, that seems unnecessary.
So I'm like, you know, so that just puts everyone who doesn't take their you know, schizo medicine is now going to start killing people and ripping out people's belly button rings. Don't watch that movie, The Roommate. I will pop off all the time.
Not endorsed by Michelle Hammer.
No. Don't watch The Roommate.
Jeez.
But just people just don't know anything. And like I said before, you're like, oh, this, like, you know, you watch the 11 o'clock news. This person with schizophrenia killed someone. You know, that's what you hear on the 11 o'clock news. Mm-hmm. But that's not true. That's not true for everyone. Just like it's not true for anyone who does anything else. Like, you know, what if somebody with diabetes like killed somebody? You know, you don't hear that on the news.
Right.
If they have diabetes. Why not bring that up too?
Yeah. Watch out. If their insulin is
low. What if they have low blood sugar and they killed somebody? They never bring that up.
No. Are there any shows, movies, books, people, you know, besides your content, obviously providing a very realistic and open look at what it is like to live with schizophrenia, or is there anything else that you found that is accurate that you're like, oh yeah, it does help change the narrative in a good way?
I mean, there's I Am the movie. It's a short movie. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good movie, but that might be the only one.
Yeah. If, cause you've talked a lot about how, like you said, there's stories in the news of someone with schizophrenia did something, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of times when there needs to be some kind of interaction with someone having a crisis, like a mental health crisis out in the world, a lot of it is that no one knows how to respond in order to prevent the situation from escalating.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you've learned that can help someone in a crisis?
I would say, you know, bring them to actual reality and let them know what's actually going on, and don't be violent with them. Like, listen, talk, have a conversation, you know, don't bring a big cop in there and try to intimidate people and scare them, because it's only going to escalate and get worse and worse and worse and worse. Like, sit down, have a conversation, talk about what's going on, talk about the situation, talk about why everyone's there and what the concern is, and de-escalate. Don't bring anyone in there that's going to escalate the situation, because that's not going to end well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely. What helps you through, and do you call it an episode? Like, are there, I guess, probably dumb question, with schizophrenia, like, you are not always experiencing all of these different categories of symptoms, right? And so
yes.
Is it like it's not happening and then all of a sudden it's happening? What is that like?
Sometimes I'll be watching TV and then I'll just be like, oh, what? You know, it's nothing. It's just, you could just be sitting there and then you just disassociate and start talking to somebody else. Like, that's just how it is. It's just life, you know? It's fine unless, like, you're in a fight or something and, like, you're, like, arguing with whatever your delusion or hallucination is. Like, as long as you're not in a fight, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as you're being, everyone's being nice to each other, the hallucinations and you, everyone's being nice. Because, I mean, I would imagine there's times where the hallucinations are not being nice to you at all and are saying really horrible things to you.
Oh, sometimes I'm in big fights. Yeah. I get a big fight. I'll be able to, but who the hell am I punching? But that doesn't happen a lot. Like that used to happen more like back in the day when I would be like punching nobody. But like now I'm all more medicated, more stable, more chill. It's more just chatter with whatever. But I still do have like the same delusions or hallucinations or just whatever, the recurring thoughts of like the same stuff that's frustrating over and over and over and over. And I'm like, can you just let me sleep sometimes? Like, get out of my head. Why are you in my head all the time? Like the same bitty, just leave me alone. She's always asking me the same questions. Like I've answered you 50 million times. Stop asking me the same question over and over and over again. Like, come on already.
Yeah.
She's so annoying. She's just so annoying. God, go away. Like, just go away.
Which, you know, I've heard people say similar things on a much smaller scale of just like our negative self-talk. Like,
right.
Hey, right, asshole, go away. Like, get out of my head.
That's true. That's true. It is. I know people are like, you know, like, oh, that happened. Oh, this is nothing. I have that too. It's like, it's different because it's like your ability to live your life. Like, is it too intrusive that you can't live your life? That's really the difference. Like,
yeah,
you know,
but it is interesting when you think about it, like people, I think we with mental illness, schizophrenia, you say like, oh, they're so different. Like, I can't relate. I don't understand those symptoms at all. And then if you actually listen to you describe your symptoms, I think most people can, if you shrink it down, be like, oh, I can get what it feels like on a tiny level to have my brain say something mean. Or I've heard you talk about your paranoia being sometimes like a huge level of imposter syndrome. Like, I'm so scared that everyone's going to figure out that I suck at everything. I'm like, you know, I think on a much smaller, tiny, very different scale, I can relate to feeling imposter syndrome. So if I just go, oh, wow, I can only imagine what it would feel like to have that be a giant thing in my head. If that makes sense.
That does make sense. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. It's and just what, like the scale. And it's just like, but honestly, like if I didn't have my medication, I would not be able to even do this right now.
Yeah,
I would not be able to get out of bed. I'd be so paranoid, so scared. Like, I know one time, like I was just not taking my medicine. I was in bed and I was like having a panic attack. And I was like, why did I tell everyone I have schizophrenia? Oh my God, I'm so dumb. Everybody knows. No, why would I do that? Ah! That's how it can be.
Yeah. On the topic of dumb questions or just dumb things to say, I would imagine you hear some stupid things. Like, are there things that we should not say to a person with schizophrenia or things to ask, you know, like just questions that you're like, can you stop asking me that, please?
Well, people love to ask me what meds I'm on. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, people love to ask me who I'm talking to. That gets really annoying. Like really annoying. Don't do that. Even I tell people, can you stop asking me? And they're like, but I want to know. I'm like, just stop asking me.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Also, it's like, I've been told, so like, so what do your meds do for you? Don't ask me that either. You know, just don't ask those questions.
Yeah.
But it's like, so what do you hear? Who's talking? What do you hear? Do you see things? Do you hear them? What are you seeing? Do you see somebody in the room? Like, stop. Just stop. I think it's like the questions you would just think to ask a person with schizophrenia that are basic questions, but just don't ask them.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't. Don't ask me who I'm talking to. Don't ask me what meds I'm on. Just ask me how I'm doing. And also, don't treat me like I'm sick. Also, like, don't treat me like I'm sick. I'm not sick. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Have you, out of all this work that you've done and how open you've been about your schizophrenia, have you met a lot of other people with schizophrenia as well?
Oh, yeah. Tons. I've met tons of people with schizophrenia.
And I would imagine, you know, there's the same categories of symptoms, but like all
we're all different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody's different. Yeah. I've seen like certain like like characteristics of things that I do in other people with schizophrenia. They do this certain things that are the same. I've seen that, but like some of us have completely different like symptoms. You know, other people might see certain things in the room and not be as delusional, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my friends told me that one of her hallucinations was a little annoyed that I hadn't invited him over yet. And I was like, oh, I didn't know he wanted an invite, but tell him that he's welcome to come over at any time. And I was like, she's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, oh, all right. You know,
the hallucination wanted to be invited. Wow. Yes. Nice. Yeah.
You know, but it's just like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Justin can come at any time. Tell Justin he's welcome. You know, and now Justin comes over.
Great.
Yeah. But like, I don't necessarily have that. Like, you know, that's, I don't have like a dude that hangs out with me with a name and that like just appears sometimes like that. That doesn't happen to me. I'm more like, you know, this situation happened and I know you said it to me and I know that happened at this point. And they're like, that never happened. Yes, it did. You're lying to me. It's totally different. That's why people just don't like know things. You just don't see that in a movie because there's not like a movie. There's always this movie that is like that one person with schizophrenia, but there's not like that movie with like, oh, here's a bunch of people with schizophrenia. And then there are all different kinds of like symptoms of all that. Like nobody knows these things because it's never been shown to everybody. People don't have the education because no one's ever been told.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I'm trying to educate people because people have not been told what really goes on.
Yeah. Besides obviously listening to everything you say, how do you think we get to the world to a better spot where we can just like understand people and talk about these things?
Just keep spreading the word. Keep talking, keep doing whatever you got to do. Keep talking about it.
So you hear, you know, a lot of times on the podcast, we talk to people with all kinds of mental health things going on in their brains. And a lot of times it's like, okay, what helps? Self-care, whether that's like sleeping more or writing in your journal or blah, 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 blah. But also sometimes that sounds very, very cheesy and sometimes does not work for things. Is self-care something that A, you try to do, B, helps you, or no, not at all?
I don't even know what self-care is, honestly. I don't even understand what anything. Self-care means. I don't get it.
I mean, I would taking say care probably of, like what, taking a shower? Self-care. Yeah.
Totally. Art is self-care.
Yeah.
Okay. Then art. Then I guess but art,
I guess
sure.
I guess part of what it is to me, what I think about is it's like intentional, you know? Like I'm going, okay, I'm going like to take some time to go on a happy. Walk and that's self-care. And maybe I shouldn't have to like label it in order for it to help me, but that's how I like hold myself accountable. I'm like, oh, I'm going to do something that's in my brain today.
I feel like everything I do is self-care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't do things I really don't want to do.
Yeah.
Do I? I mean,
meds are self-care. Gotta, like, taking your meds. Yeah.
Right. I don't know. I feel like I'm always self-caring in some way. I'm not really hurting myself in any way. I don't know. I do some artwork. I work on a website to talk to certain people. I always make sure I'm good. You know, maybe that's the self-care. I make sure I'm good.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally. Yeah. Does reaching out to people help?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. I guess so. I don't know.
If you've made it this far into this episode of Mentally Together, there's a chance you're enjoying it, maybe? So if you want to know more about what goes on behind the scenes of this show, come hang out on Patreon. By becoming a patron, you'll get the video version of each episode early, get to be the first to ask questions of each podcast guest, and get to see deleted video clips from each episode. Oh, and you'll hear things you won't hear anywhere else. Like from this episode, I loved talking to Michelle, and you get to hear most of what we talked about right here in this full episode. But there were a couple of times when we chatted that we went down some random rabbit holes that just didn't make sense to leave in the bigger picture of the podcast. However, I loved going down the rabbit holes. Like, what does the word self-care actually mean? The more I say it, it just doesn't sound like a real word. I think I need to go Google it, but in the meantime, you can go listen to us talk about it over on Patreon.
You can sign up and support our show at patreon.com/CassidyQuinn. Again, that's Patreon, patreon.com/CassidyQuinn. Now back to the show.
Okay, now I have a few questions from our friends on the internet.
Okay, let's get them. Let's listen. Let's go. People on the internet.
Well, one person did ask what medication you're on, so we're going to skip right past that one. Although he did say, I'm not sure if that would be too personal to get into. So appreciate the awareness there. And he knew the answer. But on the meds question, Kira says, do medicines help? Do they give you brain fog?
Like, are I there- find they help. Yes.
Do they ever give you brain fog? Or just kind of.
I mean, I feel like brain fog is just something people say to not take their medicine. What is brain fog? Were you better before or after you took the medicine?
Yeah.
If you don't like your medicine and if it's giving you brain fog, switch your meds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm getting brain fog, but I might.
Yeah. Or for me, like my ADHD meds help my brain fog go away. So can go.
Same here.
The meds are great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Zachary wants to know, do you have any tips for someone who is newly diagnosed?
Welcome to the club. And like I said before, it's the best thing that could happen to you because now you could be treated for the correct illness. Yes. Work with your doctor and your life will get better.
And last but not least, we have a quick round of questions.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, when was the last time you cried?
I think it was a few days ago. And why was I crying? My friend recently died. Oh, and that's why.
I'm really sorry.
It's okay.
That sucks. But I'm glad that you could cry it out. What about the opposite? When's the last time you had a big belly laugh?
This morning.
Ooh, good.
I don't know why. I don't remember.
What are you grateful for right now?
Everything? I don't know.
Ooh, yeah, that's great. What sound can calm you down or bring you joy when you hear it?
Mr. Softy.
like the ice cream truck?
Yeah.
Yes. That's great. That one might give me anxiety. I'm like, I need $2. What about a smell that can calm you down or bring you joy?
I don't know. Like, you know, sometimes, you know, when you spell Ben Gay, it like reminds me of like college sports.
And that's good.
Yeah. That okay. Brings me back.
What is the best thing you do for your mental health?
Talk about it.
What about the worst thing you do for your mental health that you're like, yeah, maybe I should want to kind of stop doing that?
Probably drink way too much coffee.
Ooh, uh-huh. What is your favorite thing about your brain?
That it's squishy.
Ooh, okay. What is your biggest guilty pleasure?
Watching old episodes of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
When do you feel most yourself?
At 2 p.m.
Perfect. What is something you're really good at that people might not know?
Playing defense in lacrosse.
Ooh, yeah. If you wrote a biography, what would it be called?
I would call it This Bitty Got Thoughts.
Ooh, I like it. And the last one is the most random, of course. If you had to get something tattooed on your forehead, like we're in some weird alternate future where I have gotten put in charge for some stupid reason, and everyone is getting a forehead tattoo that's like your message to yourself when you look in the mirror, but also your message, you know, you walk around New York City, your mask doesn't cover your forehead. So what would your forehead tattoo say?
Gangsta.
Unexpected. Great answer. I guess it would be covered by your hat. So maybe a chin tat is more.
Live it up.
Your style.
Gangsta.
And then where can people follow you, find you, buy your cool art and your t-shirts and everything?
You can find me online at schizophrenic.nyc, Instagram, schizophrenic.nyc, Twitter, Schizophrenic NY, because the C was too long.
Oh.
And TikTok, schizophrenic.nyc, or I don't remember if there's dot or not. And youtube.com/C/schizophrenicNYC. I think that's it. Just find me. Find me. Keep finding me. Just find me anywhere.
On the streets of New York.
That's right. 48th and 9th Avenue. Hell's Kitchen.
And then, of course, is there anything else that you want people to know about you, schizophrenia in general, your awesome art, or just anything that I didn't ask you about that you're like, I want to say this?
You know, just don't let stigma from society get in the way of fulfilling your dreams.
Ooh. Yeah. Mic drop.
Mic drop.
Well, thank you so, so much. It's been so great talking to you. I appreciate everything that you put out into the world and that you just talk about this so openly so that we all who don't know anything about schizophrenia can actually know something about it and understand it a bit.
Well, thank you so much. That's so nice of you. Thank you.
And thank you, wonderful human, for listening to this episode of Mentally Together. We put out new episodes every Monday, so I, Cassidy Quinn, will see you next week. In the meantime, go do something nice for your brain today. Go make some art, take a walk around your city wearing a Schizophrenic NYC t-shirt, take your meds, whatever will make your day just a little bit better. Because remember, we are all just trying to keep ourselves mentally together. Mentally Together is produced, hosted, and edited by Cassidy Quinn in collaboration with Koba FM, a podcast network that is all about community, baby.